Right, turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, and we're going to be continuing, finishing up the stanza that starts in verse 33, just as we had our scripture reading. And a Hebrew letter there means window, and so last week we covered the first four verses and really kind of looking at a window for us into the prayer of a servant. And one of the things that we talked about, again, it's, the Lord wants us to pray for everything. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's physical, spiritual, that sort of thing. We know that from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So the Lord wants us to pray about anything and everything. But we note the priority of these first four verses of really of looking at spiritual request. And if you go back and just review real quick, you notice that in verse 33 it says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. And verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimony. So these are all things that David is asking for, you know, that are of the spiritual nature. These are things that really should take priority in our life so that we're learning and growing in the Word of God, to keep the Word of God, and to be able to walk according to those things. And now today, as we think about window as well, it's not only a window, something that allows you to look in, like we talked about looking into a servant's heart, it's also obviously looking out. A window gives you the idea of being able to see out and see what is there. And really we saw a bit of that at the end of the verse that we covered last week in verse 36. I'm going to read it again. It says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. In other words, the things that we see, it's like, hey, I want that, I want this, that, and the other. We live in a very materialistic society, especially we see it here in the United States, and it's like we see something, we want something, and we know that the Bible defines covetousness as idolatry. A lot of times we don't think that, oh, well, we're not idolaters, I don't bow down to a statue or anything like that. Hey, remember, the Bible defines covetousness as idolatry, and idolatry as covetousness. So we need to be careful of what we are beholding or watching or seeing, and that's where we pick up today. If we're going to look at these last four verses and look at, again, part two of supplications of a saint, we see in verse 37 it says, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. So he is very concerned about what he is seeing, and that is important. We think about just the things that are our physical senses, I should say, and what we allow in. The things that we hear, obviously what we're talking about today, the things that we see. We need to be careful with those things because, again, that can really work into our spirit, our mind, and again into our soul, and then into our actions. And again, that lines up with our vision this year, that we want to exercise ourselves to godliness. We want to be healthy in our spirit and in our soul and in our body, and that means we need to be careful of watching what we put into ourselves. We think about that as far as physical food and diet. You know, they say junk in, you're going to get junk out. You want to make sure, try to be healthy in that in a physical aspect. Well, much more even is important as far as the spiritual aspect is concerned. So today we're going to look at, again, 2 points. We're going to look at verses 37 to 38, turn away from vanity. And then verses 39 and 40 as far as turn away my reproach. And we're going to see a lot of things here. And so let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll dive into it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you for the things that you've been showing us through Psalm 119. Lord, as we are in the midst of our third month of this year and dealing with our vision, you've given us a lot already. And Lord, there's a whole lot more to go. I pray that our hearts, our minds, Lord, will be open to the truth of your word so that we can physically walk according to it. And as we see the servant's prayer here and the things that he is really desiring for you to do, being he wants you to do these things, Lord, I pray that that is our attitude. Father, help us to be open and honest with ourselves, the things that we need to see from your word that we would apply to our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so let's look at this. There's some time that we're going to need to spend here in verse 37 to really kind of lay out the context of the rest of this message today. So in verse 37 it says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Now that word vanity is something that is emptiness. It doesn't add up to anything. It's going to be void. And really, when we ultimately think about it in our doctrine and dealing with the dispensation of grace, we know that we are going to be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ. Our works, our service is going to be judged. And we don't want it to be that which is vanity or empty or doesn't anything that's going to have reward but actually lose reward. So just as I kind of mentioned in the sense of the beginning and introduction to this message, we've got our thoughts or our spirit, or I should say our spirit or our mind that deals with our thoughts, that leads to our attitudes as far as our soul is concerned, which deals with our actions as far as our body is concerned. So we need to be careful in making sure that, again, we watch what we're watching. All right, we need to be careful of that. It says, again in verse 37, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. It's almost one of those things, it's like in the day and age that we live in, there is going to be vanity that we're going to see. There are things that we're going to see that it's like you don't even want to see, but you see it. The response, though, is what we need to understand today. What are we going to do with that when we see something that is vanity, that is empty, that's not going to help you in your walk with the Lord? We need to turn away from that. And the servant here, David, is saying, hey, Lord, help me. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. I don't want to focus on something that is not going to do anything for my walk and relationship with the Lord. And with that, we need to understand the things that we are supposed to be seeing. What are we supposed to be looking at? What is our vision? What is our focus? Glad you asked that. So let's turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and actually want to pick it up in chapter 4, the very last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Now the context of this is actually dealing with the trials and struggles that we can go through. And dealing in this life and in this world, we're going to go through some things. And so the context actually directly, instead of being focused on the physical trials and tribulations that is going on, let me be focused on the eternal. But obviously we can use this in what we're seeing in Psalm 119. Instead of being focused on that which is vanity, something that is temporary as we're going to see here, let me focus on the eternal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 it says this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And it's almost one of those things that it's almost not like a paradox, but it's like, what in the world, how do I do that? How do I go about looking at something that you can't see? It doesn't make any sense. I'm not supposed to look at what I see, but I'm supposed to look at the things that I can't see. It almost doesn't make sense. Well, obviously, we've got to understand we're talking spiritually, all right? And we're going to see how we see the unseen by, again, being in the Word of God. Since we're in 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 5. Very familiar verse, especially around here, since we named this church Faith Bible Church, where we want to walk by faith, not by sight. That's where this comes from. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 7. Simple little verse. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Again, it's one of those things like, well, what do you mean? All right, I have my eyes open, I've got to see where I'm going. But again, it's talking about the spiritual aspect of our lives, that we got to walk according to faith, which we know is going to be according to the Word of God. Another key verse for our church from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, I'm supposed to walk by faith. I'm going to be walking according to the Word of God. I want to give you another reference in how we are supposed to focus. Turn over to the book of Colossians in chapter 3. We've seen this even in the last week, I do believe, but look at it again. Colossians chapter 3, we're just going to look at the first couple of verses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, says this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, what are we looking at? And so as we go back to Psalm 119, again, we're not done with verse 37, but understand, it's like, Lord, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. But we see with the Lord that, again, we can never see where the Lord ask us to stop doing something without replacing it. And so that's why I covered the verses that we covered. So I'm not supposed to look at vanity. Lord, I'm praying, turn away my eyes from vanity, but help me to look upon the things that I'm supposed to look on, which is that which is spiritual, that which is by faith, that which is by the Word of God. And that's what we see in the rest of this verse. You go back to Psalm 119 and verse 37, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. All right? Quicken. We've seen this word already in Psalm 119. The word quicken means to be made alive. We've already talked about that. And so this is the perfect rest of this verse. It's like as we ask God to turn away our eyes from beholding vanity, what we want is God to quicken or make us alive by what? What does it say there? By in thy way. Not my way, but His way. He's already prayed in the stanza about his desire to go in the way of God or the way of His Word. Look back at verse 33 again. Psalm 119, verse 33 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. That's his first prayer request in the stanza. He is concerned and he wants to make sure that he's going according to the way that the Word of God lays out. Because it's so easy for us to walk in our own way. Kurt reminded us of this on Wednesday in his devotion, in his study. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Talking about from Proverbs chapter 14 and chapter 16. And so we don't want to go in our way. Lord, teach me how to go in the way of thy statutes. Jump down to verse 35. See the same thing again. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. For therein do I delight. Again, the commandments, God's Word, lays out a way that we're supposed to go. And the desire for a servant of God should be that I want to walk according to the way of the Word of God. I want to go thy way. So Lord, here's my prayer request as well. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Because vanity is going to lead me down the wrong path. If I'm looking at that which is empty, if I'm looking at that which doesn't amount to anything, that's not going to get me any reward at the judgment seat of Christ, if I continue to look and dwell on those things, then what's going to happen? I'm going to walk according to what I am seeing, which is no good. Now, Lord, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and what do we need to do? Lord, please, quicken thou me in thy way. Make me alive to go in your way. And how is that going to happen? By the Word of God. Again, we've seen this reference before, but we're going to go to it again. I want you to go all the way to Hebrews chapter 4. I know you're very familiar with this, but it's a great verse to continue to look at, and I'm sure this will not be the last time as we go through Psalm 119. To look at this as a cross-reference. One of the things I've said recently, again, repetition is the price of learning. We see that, and we're talking about exercise, and the physical exercise, you grow and you strengthen and whatever exercise that you're doing by the repetition and the consistency of doing it. Well, the same thing needs to be spiritually. That's why we see a lot of times the Word of God repeats itself because we need to hear it because we tend to slack, we tend to forget, and we need the truth again. Well, here we go. In Hebrews chapter 4, just looking down in verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. That means it's living. It says, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You've heard me say it again. I'm not going to spend too long on this verse, but again, it's a living book, the Word of God. We read it, it's reading us. All right? And again, we see the three aspects of man there. Soul, spirit, joints and marrow would be the body, all right? Not an accident, especially with everything that we're looking at this year from Psalm 119. It's like, if I'm going to be quickened in thy way, then I need the Word of God, which is quick. It's living. So instead of looking at vanity, let me look at that which will quicken me. Let me look at the Word of God. That's how we are able to walk by faith and not by our physical sight. It's our spiritual sight because we're looking at the Word of God and it shows us how we're supposed to go. All right? That is so, so important because we're confronted every day with things that are vanity in this world and in this life. And we have got to make sure that we are looking to the eternal. We are looking to the Word of God that's able to quicken us so that we don't go in the way of vanity. Now, I want to give you one more example before we leave this verse. Like I said, I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, but it really sets the stage of what we need to see in the rest of this stanza. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. And just kind of give you a little bit of a Bible example of the problem as you're looking at vanity, as you're looking at the wrong thing. Now, as you make your way there, I'll give you a little bit of the context. We're talking about Abram at this time. His name hasn't been changed to Abraham, but Abram and his nephew Lot. When God told Abram to leave his country and his kindred to go into the land he's going to show him, which is the promised land, the land of Canaan, he was supposed to leave all of his kindred, but he takes Lot with him. Wasn't supposed to do that. And of course, it becomes a problem. And all the cattle and everything that Abraham was amassing, and the same thing as far as Lot was concerned, there was contention between the herdmen of Abram and Lot. And finally comes to the place to where, and this is something obviously God allowed because he didn't want Lot to be with Abram in the first place, it's like, we got to separate. Abram comes to Lot, it's like, we got to separate. Whatever land that you pick, you can go ahead and go, and I'll pick something else. And Lot says, that's a good deal, I'll do that. And so what happens is Lot ends up picking all the plain of Jordan. It's all beautiful. It's almost like it's described as the Garden of God and so forth. I mean, it was just beautiful. Obviously, an ideal place for his cattle. I mean, I know that's what Lot was thinking. But there's a problem. That's the same area of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities that God was going to destroy. And so if you're in Genesis chapter 13, I just want you to pick it up in verse 11. And we're going to read down through verse 13. It says this, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, the promised land that God is going to give him. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Lot is not in Sodom at this point, but he pitches his tent toward Sodom. He's able to look into Sodom. And if you were to read in chapter 14, you'll find that Lot and his family is in Sodom. You see, if you're pitching your tent toward Sodom, and that's what you're beholding, that's what you're looking at, and you continue to have that go into your eyes, the windows of your soul, your thoughts and your heart, and your all of a sudden your action is going to be what? You are in Sodom. And then a war breaks out, he becomes captive. Abram has to save him in chapter 14 from Sodom. You would think that Lot would leave. No, he stays there all the way until he has to be taken out by force by two angels in Genesis chapter 19 because God had enough of Sodom and Gomorrah and he's going to destroy them, but he wasn't going to destroy them with Lot there because even in everything that Lot did, he was still considered righteous and God was going to get Lot out of there and probably more for the sake of Abram and his relationship that God had with Abram than anything. But yet, the Bible does say that Lot is righteous. And the reason why I point that out is because, you know what, Lot is a good picture of Christians. Has God's righteousness, but yet making all the wrong decisions based on what he is seeing and looking at. Beholding vanity instead of looking to the Word of God. He pitched his tent toward Sodom, ends up there. How often do we end up on the wrong path, in the wrong place, doing the wrong things because we pitched our tent towards something that we shouldn't be? Instead of looking to the eternal, instead of looking to the Word of God that's quick in us, we are looking to that which is vanity. Such an important truth that we need to understand today. You go back to Psalm 119, let's move on, continuing in this point and turning our eyes away from vanity. In Psalm 119, again from verse 37, says, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear." See, this is why we need to spend some time in verse 37 of setting it up that what we need to be looking at is the Word of God. It's going to quicken us because his next prayer request in verse 38 is, "Establish thy word unto thy servant." It's not established. It's established. King James English. There's a difference. Today we don't use the word established. We just use the word established. Established means literally that you're just initiating, you're setting something up. Like we established this church back in 2016, January. The first Sunday in January, 2016 is the first Sunday day that we had for our church service here in Arma. But since 2016, we've been establishing the church, strengthening the church. That's what that word established means. It's a word, again, that we don't use today, unfortunately. All right, the English language has been dumbed down and watered down through the years, which is very unfortunate because we lose the richness of the King James English. But establish that word, to be strengthened. Obviously, we see where a word of God is established with David as he's been coming through Psalm 119. But his prayer request is, Lord, establish thy word, strengthen thy word unto thy servants. All right? We see the same thing in our doctrine today. I want you to go to Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to look down in verses 6 and 7. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And this is so important, especially because the context that happens after this is dealing with deception and all the philosophies and the things of the world that are out to deceive. And it's a lot, same thing that's going on today. There's a lot of deception out there in the name of Christianity and the Word of God. We have to be established in the Word. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." A great verse in understanding the importance of discipleship. All right? That you've been taught. All right? You don't come to Christ by faith and then you're going to grow by not doing that. You have to grow. The Lord wants you to grow and you need to be taught. That's why it's important that mature believers in local churches, that they turn around and disciple those who have not gone through that, to establish them, to strengthen them in their walk with the Lord, so they're able to walk by faith and not by sight. That they're able to turn away from vanity and look to the Word of God that's going to quicken them and be able to strengthen them to be able to accomplish what the Lord would have them to do. Right? So being established. Now, let's go back to Psalm 119. Let's look at it again. Got some more things to see out of verse 38. His prayer request again. Establish thy word unto thy servant. This is key. Thy servant. Out of everything, and I've been studying and reviewing for this message this week, and it just really hit me that really those two words are the key to understanding everything that we're looking at today. Thy servant. David's not serving himself. He's not talking about being a servant of Israel, even though he's serving Israel as king. Who does he belong to? He's serving God. He's asking God to strengthen him in the word, because why? Lord, I'm your servant. I'm here to serve you. What does it mean to serve? There's too many in Christianity today that they're not servants of the Lord. They're sitters, they're occupiers. I mean, they're not doing what they are designed to do. We're supposed to be serving God. And there's no way we're going to serve God if we are, in a sense, serving our flesh. Now we're looking at the things that add up to nothing, that is emptiness, that's not going to do anything for us, and it's not going to bring glory to God. And so the things that David is praying and asking for is understanding the context that he is to serve God. And it's the same thing for us, that we need to serve God. That's why we are here. We're not here for our own purpose. We're not here for our own glory. We're not here to get as much money as we can and all the toys and everything that we can that we see and covet. That's not why we are here. We are here to serve God. God created us to serve Him, to bring Him glory. And as I say so often, you will never be fulfilled in your life if you're not doing the purpose that God has given you to do. Serving Him. So we've got to understand that. Lord, I'm your servant. Please, Lord, establish thy word. Notice this. You talk about a servant. Notice that last phrase of verse 38. Who is devoted to thy fear. Interesting. What have we seen today? Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Whose way is it? The Lord's way. Verse 38, establish thy word. Not my opinion, not the philosophy, not anything of the world. Establish thy word. Strengthen me in thy word. Your word, Lord, unto thy servant. I belong to you. Remember, we're what? Saved, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not our own. We belong to Him. Thy servant. Who is devoted to, where's the fear come from? What does it say there in verse 38? Whose fear is it? It's the Lord's fear. Thy fear. Don't miss this. All of the thys that we're looking at in these prayer requests. It's all about God, including us. And it's too often that we're serving ourselves or serving the world, serving anything but God. And as a believer in Christ, that's who we're supposed to be serving. We belong to Him. And we need to be devoted to His fear, thy fear. That is the reverence and respect of everything who God is. David's devoted to that. Are we? Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, but this time let's look in chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Just going to look at the first verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says this. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, I could preach a whole message just on this reference. There is so much in it that definitely lines up with our vision for this year. But it does say, having therefore these promises. These promises are what? We're talking the Word of God. And as we say, the context of therefore, when you see the word therefore, you need to see why it's therefore. It points back to the previous context of what was going on, which is chapter 6. And in chapter 6, let me just break it down for you real quickly. Chapter 6 talks about the importance, really, of ministry. That we're not taking the grace of God in vain, and we're ministering the Word of God. And the end of chapter 6 talks about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's the last thing it talks about. So, therefore, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. How are we going to clean ourselves? With the washing of the water by the Word. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Talking about how Christ loves the church, how the husband is supposed to love his wife by the washing of the water of the Word of God. That's what cleanses us. We're going right back to the Word again. And isn't it interesting that it talks about cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, small s? That's two-thirds of the Trinity that we are. We're spirit, we are soul, and we're body. And we need to take the Word of God and cleanse us, again, in the fear of God. In the fear of God. To make sure we get rid of the filthiness that is of our flesh and of our spirit. And our spirit is the same thing as dealing with our mind. Spirit of your mind. That's why we got to be careful of what we let into our mind. The things that we see, hear, behold, thought life. That's why it's so important that we pray, Lord, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Lord, establish thy word unto thy servant, devoted to thy fear. I need the cleansing, the washing of the word of God to cleanse my flesh, to cleanse my spirit. So that what? That I can continue to be a servant of the Lord. It's kind of hard for God to use you if you're not in the way. Walking according to His Word. If you're beholding vanity instead of walking by faith and not by sight. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Oh, so much in these verses. In verse 37, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. And then verse 39, second point, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. So the next prayer request here is to turn away my reproach. This is not reproach that he's talking about that you get from the world from following the Lord, because there's plenty of reproach that you're going to receive from this world as you're walking according to the Word of God. That's not the reproach that he's talking about. He's talking about his reproach, which comes down to if you are not doing what God has laid out for you to do in the Word of God, and the world is going to be like, you're just a hypocrite. That's the reproach that we're dealing with. You're saying that you're one thing, but you're doing something else. Right? That's where the ridicule and everything from the world is going to make sure that they're going to keep on you. We know how that is. And, you know, because people love to use that excuse, and it's no excuse that's going to fly with God, but they love to use it. Well, the reason why I don't go to church, or the reason why I'm not a Christian, is because so-and-so is just a hypocrite. They love to use that as an excuse. That's why we as Christians should make sure that we're not going to be somebody else's excuse. Again, it's not going to fly with God. Okay, God's not going to be, oh yeah, I'm going to let you off the hook because of, yeah, so-and-so. No. That's not going to work. But at the same time, we need to make sure, because Satan loves to use that to hinder the progress of the Word of God, in a sense, in people's lives. I want you to go to 1 Timothy. This is a review because we covered it last year. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, and looking at the qualifications of a bishop. And, you know, the first several verses lays that out, and then it talks about the qualifications of a deacon. But I just want you to look at verse 7. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. This is the last thing that it says in just dealing with a bishop or a pastor. It deals with his testimony. It says this, 1 Timothy 3, verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. That would be the world, lost, and those who are maybe saved but not believing, not following, still need to have a good report. That'd be a good testimony of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Reproach. Why? Because they are not doing what the Word of God lays out for them to do. That's where this kind of reproach comes from, and the world is like, yeah, they're no different than me. His God's not any different. I mean, he's a hypocrite. David's desire, as we go back to Psalm 119, again in his prayer request, is like, hey, Lord, turn away my reproach, which I fear. And we should have that. Now, note the difference between, as he's talking to God, thy fear, again, at the end of verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear, the reverence, respect, understanding who God is. And then he says, turn away my reproach, which I fear. And we should fear reproach. It should be the thing that helps us as well to keep us on the right path. That we're not a hypocrite. That we're not, have a bad testimony with the world. Because we stand and say, yeah, we're Christians, we're this, that, and the other. But yet, the things that we actually say and do is against the Word of God. We should fear that. Paul did, in a sense of preaching to others and himself being a castaway out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at the end. You know, preaching the truth and the gospel of grace and everything, but yet not following it and letting his flesh get the better of him. Paul feared that. Again, it's not being, I guess, in a sense, it kind of is, I'm more of afraid of that, but we should, again, it should be something in dealing with our attitude that we should not want to go that direction. Again, it says this in verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Now, think about that. That's a word we love to stay away from. as much as I talk about how the world will say, again, use hypocritical Christians as an excuse to not follow the Lord, which is a lame one. It's not going to fly before God whatsoever. The same thing with this word judgment. If you were to go out to the world today and ask them, you know, what do you think about judgment? You know, especially from a Christian perspective. Well, they'll say, oh, you're not supposed to judge. No, not supposed to judge one another. They know Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 in there, Jesus said, you know, don't judge one another lest you be judged. So, you know, not supposed to have judgment. Don't tell me what I'm doing wrong. He says, for thy judgments are good. David says, your judgments are good. We need to judge. Now, I can't sit here and judge and say, well, this person's going to hell. Well, according to the Word of God, if they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they die without having knew that, what does the Bible say? They're going to hell. It's not about me judging. That's what the Word of God says. They can choose not to believe the Word of God. Still true. Okay, you can believe all day that a stop sign doesn't really apply to you, but if you run a stop sign and there's a cop there and they stop you, guess what? You're going to get a ticket. You can still believe all day long, well, it doesn't apply to me. Okay, great, don't pay that ticket. What's going to happen? You're going to get a warrant. You say, oh, I don't care about this warrant. Okay, do something else, you get picked up, you're going to be in front of a judge. Right? You can not believe something all day long. All right? As far as the truth is concerned, the truth is still the truth. All right? Judgment is there. We are to judge. We're supposed to judge between good and evil, discern. Judgments are good. It helps us to stay on the right path. What is right, what is wrong. Alright? The problem with our society today is that, you know what? People, they're not held accountable to what they do. David says, judgments are good. It is important to understand why the rest of verse 39 is there and what it says. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. If you understand and apply God's judgment of His Word, that's going to help you to stay on the right path so that you don't have the reproach from the world. In a sense of reproach because you legitimately are not standing on the truth of the Word of God or not doing what is right. We've seen this reference before, but we need to look at it again. I want you to go to the book of Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. And this word judgment and understanding the aspect of the Word of God in judgment is not something that we should ever shy away from. It's helping us to keep ourselves on the right path. Again, the same idea is being quickened in the Word of God. Judgments are part of the Word of God so that we're not beholding vanity, that we're not going down the wrong path. In Romans chapter 11, notice what, again, Paul lays out here in verse 33. He says, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, exclamation point. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out, exclamation point. I dare say that Paul is excited in understanding the depths and the riches of God's wisdom and His knowledge and His judgments. God's judgments are good. And we need to be devoted to His fear. We need to make sure that we are focused on His judgments so that we don't fall in reproach. And the last thing that we want at the judgment seat of Christ is to be reduced by God because what? We followed our flesh, we followed the things of the world, and then follow His Word. Because there will be a day, when we talk about judgment, every believer in Christ will stand before the Lord and His work. How He has been a servant, it'll be judged. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So, understanding that judgment, understanding thy fear, the fear of God, the reverence and respect, should fear reproach of dealing with, again, being a hypocrite and doing the wrong thing, going down the wrong path. All those things should work together so that we make sure that we are serving the Lord, walking according to how His Word is laid out. You go back to Psalm 119. Again, I want to finish up here. In verse 39 it says, turn away my reproach, which I fear. For thy judgments are good. It's a good thing. It is a good thing. And then verse 40. Interesting, it says, behold. Again, remember what this stanza of the Hebrew letter is, window, to be able to see. And verse 40 says, behold. When you behold something, you look at it. You see it. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. He's beholding and he's longing for God's word, after thy precepts. Again, there's that word thy again. It belongs to God. And here's our word we've already seen before today. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Now before we deal with the last part of this verse, again, let's look at the first part. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. What do you long for? What are you longing for? Again, we saw at the end of last week that, again, we don't want to be looking at, what, covetousness. Again, at the end of verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. It's really the same thing. See here, behold, I am longed after thy precepts. All right? I'm longing after the things of God. I'm desiring the things of God. That's what I'm laying my eyes on. That's what I want. I want his testimonies. I don't want the covetousness of the things of what this world has to offer, which is going to be nothing but emptiness anyway. I'm not going to add it to anything. Do we long for God's word? Do you? Can't wait to get into it? Get up in the morning, whatever. I mean, you know, have your time in the word of God. Long after it. Got to look at it. Got to see it. Behold it. Let's see what Peter says. Why don't you look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we will look down in verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that he may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word. He's comparing, again, physical babies and needing mom's milk to be able to grow. Same thing spiritually, as a newborn babe in Christ. And that desire for the word. You guys heard me talk about this before, even in my own life. I mean, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I just had a strong desire. I had to spend time in the Word of God. It was a daily thing, daily thing, daily thing. And so much so, it's hard for me to imagine somebody being a believer in Christ and not having a desire for the Word. Sometimes it's hard for me, you know, and I try to be patient with people for sure. In my job, I try to urge people to spend time in the Word because I know what it'll do for you. The key to it all is God's Word. There's nothing more that you will understand and get from Psalm 119. It's got to be that, because you see it pretty much every verse, with the exception of what, five different verses or so that doesn't actually mention some aspect of the Word of God. We saw that actually in verse 37. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken down me in thy way. There's no mentioning of something specific in the Word of God that we've been seeing, but it's like over and over we see it almost in every verse. It's about the Word. It's about the Word. It's about the Word. That is the key into your relationship with the Lord. It is the key to understanding your purpose that God has for you and how you can personally serve God, the direction for your life. It's the Word. It's the Word. You're not going to get that without the Word. Being able to deal with all the junk that goes on in the world and all the suffering and tribulation and everything like that, you're not going to be able to properly understand and be able to deal with it without the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. All right? Over and over again. We should have a desire for it. We should long for it. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. The Word. If somebody came and took everything away from you and he said, you can have one thing I'll let you have one thing. What would your answer be? Would it be the Word? Would it be your cell phone? Can you say, oh yeah, that'll be my cell phone because I got a Bible app on there. What happens when that battery dies and you can't recharge it? Word. Give me a King James Bible. I long for it. Literally, that was Paul at the end of his life. Timothy, I need you to diligently get here and make sure you bring me the parchments. He wants the Word. He wants to lay his eyes on the written Word of God. Is that our desire? Again, going back to Psalm 119, verse 40, to finish this up here. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Make me alive in thy righteousness. That righteousness, again, easily would talk about it being the Word of God, because righteousness is a big, long word that is what's right, what's just. You're going to be quickened, made alive according to the Word of God, because it lays out what is right, what is just. But it's also literally the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, being His servant. It's His righteousness, thy righteousness. You see, a good example opposite of this would be Adam and Eve after they sinned. What did they try to do? They sew fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. Well, that wasn't going to cut it. It's a picture of self-righteousness. They sinned, they did that which is against God's Word, and so to try to cover up their nakedness and their shame, let me do something to try to figure it out. That's religion. That's man-made. What does God do? He gives them clothing of skin. That means He sacrificed an animal. Most likely that animal was a lamb, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of how we're actually going to be able to get God's righteousness is through a sacrifice, the sacrifice of Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. Well, how do we know that? Well, the Bible tells us that. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians real quick in chapter 1. Give you two references and we'll finish it up. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 30. This is how we're going to be quickened. It's going to be according to God's righteousness, thy righteousness, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, Paul simply says this, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." In this verse, we see that Jesus Christ is four things for us. He's wisdom, He's righteousness, He's sanctification, He's redemption. Obviously, our focus right now is dealing with Him being our righteousness. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Our relationship with the Lord. You go over to 2 Corinthians, where we were earlier. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And look down at the last verse, verse 21. We're here talking about we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, look at verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. This is in the context of having a ministry of reconciliation, being ambassadors for Christ. It says this in verse 21. "For He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Again, understanding Jesus Christ, He was made sin. He was our sacrifice for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Every person in the world has that opportunity. The reason why it says made, because you got to choose to accept it or not. Hopefully everyone here has accepted Jesus Christ as that redemption, that righteousness. And it's not just a one-time thing of understanding just our salvation, but that relationship should grow. And so, we started out talking about turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. We end today's message with understanding that what we need to be looking at is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His righteousness. which is laid out in His Word, which we need to have a desire for daily, devoted to Him. These are the things that we need to be a priority in our prayer life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for the day. I thank You for Your Word and things that You have laid out to us, Lord. And I know I'm not the best communicator of the Word of God by any stretch of the imagination, but I pray Your Spirit would take the truth of the Word of God and just work it in all of our hearts. Lord, think of the areas that we need to be cleansed up quite honestly. You know, that we would be devoted to by fear, that we'd be perfecting holiness, you know, in the fear of God by having the Word of God cleanse us from the filthiness of our flesh and our spirit. That means an aspect of judging, discerning, looking at where we're at, where we're going off path. Again, it reminds me of what Kurt talked about on Wednesday in a devotion. It's like, we got to ponder the path of our feet. What are we doing? Where are we going? That means we've got to judge. And the basis of that judgment is Your Word. It lets us know what is right, what is wrong, what way we're supposed to be going. Lord, those are the things that we need to, every day, throughout the day, have our eyes behold in Your Word, to be able to see and not focus on all the vain things that this world has to offer that will end up with nothingness. Help us to take this to heart. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.